At that island described in the last poem, I had no idea where I was, geographically speaking. I had had the islands where I was going to describe to me, and this particular island didn't look like it. Anyway, I had some maps, and since the Eskimos didn't speak any English, and I didn't speak any Eskimos, they finally pointed out the place on the map. And it's a rather odd feeling being up there on an island without knowing where you are. This was written a day or two later after we started for the actual Kikistan Islands. Odysseus in Kikistan. Cruising through the summer seas with Slaughter Beach behind and the Kikistan Islands ahead, while ice castles go drifting by in the dark blue water. Jonesy steers for the islands, and I soak up reflected sun, with 3 days' beard and a hangover from drinking so much hot tea. And being hospitable, it chokes me, but I hate the damn stuff. Simony makes some on the Coleman, speeding along in another boat, and Jonesy steers close to get hot tea for himself and his family. I make a face and refuse mine, while everybody laughs. And for some sad reason, I'm happy, lounging lazily on the gunwales, a sort of creative doing nothing that I make a specialty of. Ice castles drift by in the sunlight, blue and turquoise magic, molded and shaped by water. One looks like a bowling alley, another like maple leaf gardens. Here's a dinosaur's white skeleton, the landing field for DC-4s. And a seagoing hamburger with relish from Joe's place at Frobisher. You'll send your change by dolphin. A king-sized diamond from Tiffany's no lady will finally wear. And you almost expect a sign, castles for sale. Apply at Circe's Island. They come equipped with obsolete plumbing and Franklin's ghost behind the stairs, but the most delicate, dripping music, mermaids dreaming of being human, an all-girl orchestra's tinkling flutes, and Jonas's Mediterranean cruises, maybe. What do you say, Odysseus? What do you say? As sirens sing on the Arctic Islands, they come equipped with a pair of flippers, blubber lips for drinking tea. They sport a set of real false whiskers, and a cold, cold bed on the floor of the sea. They're shy of strangers, and their singing teacher never taught them to hit high C. But the castles, well, that's different. I'll take them over apartments any day, to look at, not live in, and have one moved to Cote de Neige, or White High Riser at Kingan Bay. But we haul our freight to Kikistan Harbor, north of the tree line, south of the pole. The Lord Mayor, dressed in his best new parka, comes down to the beach with a big hello. Six white whales dance through a seaweed arbor, and several thousand cordial dogs, plus an Eskimo official greeter. Must be old home week, by God, and a guy with a CBC loudspeaker who wants me to say a few words, but not unless I happen to be John Diefenbaker, which is rather confusing, so I explain that I'm only Odysseus, after all. Only Odysseus, after all. Well, I join the Eskimo Steve Doerr's union. We pack our luggage up from the sea. I am hard at work on a new translation of Homer's Odyssey, Arctic fashion, but Jonesy invites me over for tea. And that's what happened. Kikistan Islands. When I sat down to play the piano, the Eskimo dogs, the Huskies, have some traits that they hold in common with southern dogs, except they're exaggerated among the Eskimo Huskies. That is, they have formed a great liking for human excrement as food. And when you go out of your tent for that particular reason, they follow you because they sense what you're going for. And that's what this poem is about. He cometh forth hurriedly from his tent, looketh for a quiet, sequestered vale. He carrieth a roll of violet toilet tissue, and a forerunner goeth ahead to do him honor. He clept a snotty-nosed Eskimo kid. He findeth a quiet glade among great stones, squatteth forthwith and undoeth trousers, The Irrational Man by William Barrett in hand, while the other dismisseth mosquitoes. And beginneth the most natural of natural functions, buttocks balanced above the boulders. Then, dogs one, dogs three, dogs 12, all shapes and sizes, all colors and religious persuasion, a plague of dogs rushing in, having been attracted by the philosophic climate, and being wishful to learn about existential dogs and denial of the self with regard to bitches. But let's call a spade a shovel. Therefore, there I am. I am, I think, that is, surrounded by a dozen fierce Eskimo dogs with an inexplicable, to me, appetite for human excrement. Dear Ann Landers, what would you do? Dear Perry Mason, what would you do in a case like this? Well, I'll tell you, not a damn thing. You just squat there, cursing hopelessly, while the kid throws stones and tries to keep them off and out from under as a big black husky dashes in, swift as an enemy submarine, white teeth snapping at the anus. I shriek and shriek. The kid laughs. I hold on to my pants. Sans dignity, sans intellect, sans William Barrett, and damn near sans anus. Stand firm, little Eskimo kid. It giveth candy if I had any. It giveth a diamond, lieu of same. Stand firm. O avatar of Olympian excellence, noble Eskimo youth, do your stuff. Zeus in the Arctic dog pound, Montcalm at Quebec, Horatius at the bridge, Leonidas at Thermopylae, Custer's last stand at Little Bighorn. Keep them damn dogs off, you miserable little brat. Afterwards, Achilles retreateth without honor, unzippered and sullen, and sulketh in his tent till next time appointed. His anus shrinketh. He escheweth all forms of laxative and physic meanwhile, and prayeth for constipation. Addresseth himself to the Eskimo brat miscalled, Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadowy kennels, in the land of permanent ice cream, I will fear no huskies, for thou art with me. And slingeth thy stones forever and ever, thou veritable David. Amen. P.S. Next time I'm going to take a gun. Kikistan Islands. What can't be said? The ladies' auxiliary of Baffin Island, Kikistan Eskimo chapter, comes to visit me every day. They gossip about what's exciting. Killer whales out in the harbor. Rumored exodus of penguins from Toronto. Whether mother love prevents child neurosis. Relatives at Ungava having to learn French, and ice exploding bad language in Eskimo. I keep busy serving tea. Don't understand a word. One lady extracts a big floppy breast from her low-cut evening gown and shoves it all in her kid's mouth. He bubbles like a milkshake. When we run short of milk for tea, I pantomime using hers. Then we sing, You Are My Sunshine, in English and Eskimo at once, with Purdy as guest conductor. They grin at me. I grin back. And we sit there like a bunch of monkeys, about as phony as you can get. I in my small corner of the tent, they in the rest of it, while the dogs howl outside, and harbor ice keeps exploding. Later, when it gets colder, one of the ladies gives me a big piece of canvas to throw over the tent, and sews it on securely, to keep me warm at night. What can I say? Kikistan Islands. Still life in a tent, or tenting tonight in the old camp ground. In a cave hollowed out in the rain, near a pile of ghostly groceries and some books. The wind comes within 2 feet of where I am lying, and then stops, waiting. The canvas bulges. I have a slight fever, temperature of maybe 100, nothing to speak of, but no medicine here. And I have a small fear that changes shape and size when I consider what might happen. Canoe trip by sea to Pang among the waving kelp lines that anchor somebody's world. Maybe the seal towns of Erewhon and Atlantis, with Jonasy nursing the motor, smiling but irritated at me for making him miss the good hunting weather, and myself sick in the bilge. Waves rumble and rant now on the still-listening beach, pounding motherless bergs to death on rocks, stranding the big calves at tidal ebb. A clump of yellow flowers I noticed this afternoon must be straining their roots in the windy twilight night, hoping to hold on to their few home inches, like comic yellow flags of a 40-acre duchy between Russia and China. Oh, misery me, I am sick as hell. And so sorry for me. Touch my forehead and swallow carefully, expecting it to hurt. Smoke a cigarette, drink some coffee, wish it were brandy, hope for morning. The big wind howls. Now a berg splits, inside, outside the tent. a dry white noise. Wet dogs drift in and out of hearing. I lie there fevered and float a single thought out into a night tinted with dayflowers in my mind, and send a second one to join the first. My thoughts travel together in fevered fantasy, north of summer, with ice become a thousand-foot wall, so photoreal it might be me, both here and there, staring up and up, a fevered little man at that cold altar, where June, July, and August are brief tremor and God's thermometer. My blood burns and burns, with bells of systole and diastole tolling over the Northland, while I strike cross capillary with ham sandwich and thermos, to find the court of the Seal King, where trader and blind explorer fumble along the kelp lines to reach their graves in a blizzard, or came at last to drown. Here I am again, back from the court of the Seal King, lying in bed with fever, and I'm so glad to be here, no matter what happens, riding the wind to Pang, or being bored at Frobisher, waiting for clearing weather. I'm so glad to be here, with the chance that comes but once to any man in his lifetime to travel deep in himself, to meet himself as a stranger at the northern end of the world. Now the bullying wind blows faster. The yellow flags rush seaward. The stones cry out like people as my fever suddenly goes. The huskies bark like hell. The huskies bark like hell. In a cave hollowed out in the rain, near a pile of ghostly groceries, and some books. Morning soon. Kekistan Islands. Listening. In the scant warmth of Arctic sunlight, lying on pink Precambrian... Well, it's the first stumble in a while, anyway. Listening. In the scant warmth of Arctic sunlight, lying on pink Precambrian granite, a mountaintop became an island before the first man died. And wind-driven manners of shining ice passed gleaming by, down Cumberland Sound. On a sea so blue it soaks that word inside the dark human mind with quivering molecules of blue. Listening, ear pressed against stone. It isn't quiet, but silent, so that the sounds I hear are not from outside me any longer, but gyrating, dancing thoughts or the small noise my body makes in its active living. Listening, where solid granite slopes down into the water, into that silence at the mountain's foot, my ear following its configurations into the earth's stone, beneath the sea bottom and on into another silence, where any impossible sound might be interpreted as God's voice. Listening, no sound at all, only the dull singing of my own ears to shield me from the larger silence. Listening, reaching under the stone to the far side of the world, into space and beyond space. No sound. Then a black scream shatters silence, and I am shaken, without knowing why. My body suddenly warm, then cold, all in a brief time lag before brain and eyes inform me of a white bird flying above this stone island, who made the sound a moment before. And God did not screamed at the world. Kekistan Islands. Dog song. Wake at dawn and hear them in your sleeping bag lying drowsy. Morning voices running down the scale. All the human equivalents. Baritone, bass, contralto, countertenor, choir boy, soprano, coloratura, nightclub crooner, Arctic opera. In pouring rain and sea wind, hear them, tearing a seal to rags and ribbons in bloodied water. Hear them, running in packs on stone beaches. Follow the leader through these mountains from boulder to boulder, stepping delicately, the strong ones, lording it over the others like robber barons, and whining pups belly up to beg for mercy. A motionless ancient encounter, denouement pending. Always hungry, always fighting among the summer islands, in whip-crack winds of winter, hear them, lifting their heads to the sky, at some invisible signal. Impossible to say it means nothing, not catharsis or outlet, in which they resemble some unhappy humans, facing the riddle of living, who can't understand it, or never understand it, or find an answer. And dogs forget the answer, involved in the singing question, and then forget the question, and think of nothing at all, the shivery sound of nothing at all, being savage sled dogs, who sing at the top of the world. Kikistan Islands. Two hunters. Winding among the white growlers and turquoise chessmen in the harbor. Landing among stones with the tide receding. Two hunters. 3 days gone for a boatload of seal and char. $70 worth of skins at HBC. The dogs and children come to watch them. The two wives stand 100 yards away in separate doorways. And myself, a kind of witness, but not exactly a reporter. Kabluna, the white man, memorizing details outside my tent, with old squaw ducks going ow, 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 beyond the islands. On the stone beach, Jonasy strips the hide from a pair of seals and throws their large white bodies into the water, for dogs to eat in the bloody shallows. The two hunters turn with seeming negligence to the place where their wives are waiting, standing without expression in separate doorways. The hunters speak a word or two to their wives, in the soft monosyllables Eskimos use, as if something flowed under the words, which weren't really very important to Leah and Regali, the waiting women. I say hi to both the hunters, and then I'm silent. Feeling the continuity of their lives, almost broken by distance, sort out essentials of what happened in each other's absence, and join again. Dogs on the beach are fighting and eating and roiling the water, bloody water. One of them yelps away from the battle, defeated. In each doorway the hunters stand with their wives. As garbage rots slowly, the children play games. Icy chessmen in the harbor rock toward shore. A muscle of wind leaps from the sky and wastes itself against blue water, simultaneously observed by husbands and wives, with a white man part of their background as the strings draw together again. After a while they go inside. On the beach, dogs are still fighting over the bones and shreds of seal meat. A red pool, 10 feet across in the water, is a death area, widening slowly, turning blue. Beyond these islands, other adjustments are being made. Kikistan Islands. Aspects. Sometimes in summer, when it rains, mud and garbage, the shore awash with blood and stones, slippery from rancid blubber. I think of the whole Arctic as a used sanitary pad thrown away by a goddess. In winter, along the beaches, above the tree line, among the castles of green and silver places, a shivering, voiceless dog song rising, and 5 motionless suns pinned on the black horizon. Then a tall god walks the shoreline and among the people, disguised as a garbage collector. Kikistan Islands. Eskimo hunter, new style. In terraline shirt and suspenders, sunglasses and binoculars, Peterborough boat and Evan Rude motor, Remington rifle with telescope sight, making hot tea in a Coleman stove, scanning the sea and shore for anything that moves and lives and breathes, and so betrays itself, one way or another. All we need in the line of further equipment is a sexy blonde in a bikini, trailing her hand through the sunlit water. Maybe a gaggle of Hollywood photographers snapping pictures and smoking nationally advertised brands like Bwana in Africa, Baka Sahib in Bengal, staked out on a tree platform, a tethered goat underneath wailing, Papa Hemingway's bearded ghost on safari, or fishing for giant turtles in Pango Pango. Maybe it is phony, and all we're after is seal. But over the skyline, where the bergs heave and glimmer, under the glacier's foot, or down the fjord's blue water, even under the boat itself. Anywhere the unhappened instant is real blood. Death for someone or something, and it's reassuringly old-fashioned. Kikistan Islands. Dead seal. He looks like a fat little old man, an old Bill sort of face, both wise and senile at the same time, with an anxious-to-please expression. In fact, a clown, which is belied on account of the dark, slow worm of blood crawling down his forehead that precludes laughter or being anything but a dead animal, though perhaps part of a fur coat. Often I want to pet something that looks like this and been warned the Eskimo dogs are dangerous, which appeals to me on common ground, i.e., they unsure what being an animal consists of. I equally unsure what a human being is supposed to be, despite the legal and moral injunctions that say, thou shalt not. Nobody says or is likely to say with real conviction, thou shalt, go ahead and shalt, or shall, as the case may be. On the other hand, it would be ridiculous to pat the head of a dead seal, touch the wet blood that streams back from the boat, a feather of smoky brown in the water widening into a crude, trailing isosceles triangle, with mathematically impossible fish retracing the seal's ghost past, not knowing they're involved in anything. And here he is now, casually taking a nap, with flippers like futile baby hands, and clown look, just pretending. I shan't wake him, for it would be disgusting to touch the blood. It is unnecessary to prove anything, even to myself. Then change my mind, I damn well shalt. Reach out as if the head were electric, with a death taboo invisibly attached. Dark and dank cold, with the hair on it sticky, with a bullet touched less gently. Smooth elsewhere like an intimate part of the human body. It must be touched with delight in living, not curiosity and defiance of breaking rules. But I am no hunter of any kind. Go back to the tent, to sit for a few minutes inside the white canvas blindfold, and wonder what got into me. Kikistan Islands. This is a fairly long one. Well, wash day. An oil drum full of greasy water, simmering all morning with a blubber fire underneath. Two women dip water into plastic tubs, then scrub by hand with store detergent. I stand and watch, then join the scrubbing myself, for no reason or any I can think of, and work at the clothes seriously as hell. And Leah laughs, her smooth, broad face convulsed with it, small saliva bubble blown from her lips, and even Regally, so much darker and quiet, concedes a smile. I think then, even without knowing the language at all, it's possible to speak to them. Dark hair falling in Leah's eyes as she laughs and brushes it back, giving me wash day instruction. The baby asleep on her back. Regally impatient at this foolery, her standing darkness looms over me like speech, disapprovingly. They chatter about it in Eskimo. I try to figure out what they're saying, remembering I read somewhere how they add syllable to syllable so that a sentence is just one long word that keeps being added to, or something like that. Leah's still smiling over the crazy visitor who wants to wash her clothes. Brown eyes and deep dimples in cheeks, she keeps talking. Suddenly, I feel I'm picked up with surprised vertigo and held between those lips as she adds my name to the weightless sounds breathed out, some of the me I am removed, the walled self defenses down, altered. I'm given to the air, then back to myself like a gift from her. An impulse, I say, Leah, and stop then. But she looks at me queerly, and wind promenades among the tents, wrestles with canvas, and the dog shit around us. Kikistan Islands. Kikistan Communications. Sitting on my air mattress in the tent, hunting for common ground, some word, gesture, or runes in the tea leaves we all understand. I improvise brilliantly, and the two Eskimo women laugh, amused by odd sounds in my throat, strange vocal doodles, as my Adam's apple bobs up and down like water coming deep down in an old wooden pump that sounds something like bleh-loo, a memory summoned from childhood, when for other kids it was everyday magic that made things happen and then unhappen. No women far south would be so amused. They'd think I was a child, and I am a child, hunting for other children, in a happy, grunting language subversive to common sense. I'm betrayed by an audience of Leah's warm brown eyes, whose syntax is the sun and moon, and Regalie's quite obvious displeasure at her own displeasure. Oops. Bad mistake. I'm betrayed by an audience of Leah's warm brown eyes, whose syntax is the sun and moon, and Regalie's quite obvious displeasure at her own pleasure. And I remain a puzzle to myself, a gray-haired child. Outside, the other hunters are coming, announced by the wise dogs. Kikistan Islands. I'll never make it.